What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another rejuvenated episode of Clack Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. Follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. ClackRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. Follow us on there. Share the episodes. Clack Radio Speakers is on iTunes. Please, please, please vote. Please, please, please comment. That is the best way for you to share the wealth. You know, Doc and I put a lot of work into these episodes, and we don't charge, we don't do any of that crazy stuff. The least you can do is, you know, pass out a flyer digitally. CRS Podcast is the official Twitter handle, facebook.com/clackradiospeakers, and every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern, we're at thepulse-radio.com playing records. I got my Marvin Gaye on this past Sunday. It was the 29th anniversary of his passing, so I was on a Marvin kick all last week, so I decided to, you know, play some Marvin records that got sampled. Did not know that was a Marvin Gaye record that got sampled for Sipping on Some SZA.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I don't really associate that song with a sample, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either. So yeah, so, but who are you? So yeah, who's this strange figure?
I'm just in here talking. What's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter @doc_beats. S not a Z. I hope that we're rejuvenated this week. You know, behind the scenes, you and I have been doing a lot of work lately.
A lot of work.
I haven't been sleeping a whole lot lately.
A lot of work.
But yeah, man, what's going on? What's new with you?
Kairos is coming. We have a release date.
We have a release date for Kairos.
We have a release date. Finally, after, God, when did we start working on this album?
I think there's definitely a song from fall of 2011.
Yeah, that's the first song, but that was supposed to be for the project that you and I were going to do.
That's right. So beyond that.
I looked through and I saw Genesis Revelation, which is one of the song, which is actually the first single album. I saw that in my Dropbox showing it's 10 months ago when I had a draft of it. So
that sounds about right.
Yeah, so it's been close to a year we've been working on this album. But the release date is May 21st. May 21st.
Fine. I know, right? You say it and you're just like,
God, May 21st. That's when the work starts.
Why is that? Why, you know, you're not just going to like put it out there and, you know, hope and pray that everybody goes out and buys it?
And just tweet it? No. This is when I got to do the release party and the shows, and I got to get out there and pound the pavement and really get out there and grassroots it, you know, because this is all 100% independent. So, you know, otherwise it's just going to collect dust in my closet.
Need to start recruiting for the Armand Street Team.
Oh, I've got them. I've got them.
All right.
They are on deck, as the rappers say.
I mean, you already said pound the pavement. I haven't even made fun of you for having an announcement for your announcement date.
I got so many phone calls last week. They're like, so your album comes out April? Your album comes out on Monday? I was like, no. We're just going to tell people. It was really stupid. When I was explaining it to people who just didn't understand that, like
who aren't, you know, immersed in the world of rappity rap,
right? I didn't realize how rappity rappish that move was until you said something. I was like, dang it, that is
right. It's like, good. I want everybody to tune in because I'm gonna announce something at this moment. It's not even just rapper, it's musician-ish, right? Yeah. Like, you know, Justin Timberlake's been doing, like, people have been doing things with dates lately, so
yeah, you know. I couldn't do a lyric video where I like briefly flashed the release date before I smashed the screen with a hammer and like that. So, you know, sometimes the artist, you have to purposely say, especially with how fast, because internet is a huge resource for a lot of people. The internet moves so fast. You kind of have to corner people, say, okay, this is what we're going to do here. Because if I just said, you know what, the album drops May 21st, nobody would have caught it.
You got to make it, I know, honestly, you got to make it a big deal.
Yeah, you got to make it a big deal and all that stuff. So every Monday, Go to OurMindWakeUp.com. We'll have like blogs that pretty much explain, or vlogs that will explain what Kairos is. The first single, Genesis Revelation, that'll be out Monday as well. Pre-order will be out as well. Be able to pre-order the album. Some stuff, man. We're really rolling out some dope things. Doc and I, just the whole team Kairos, Doc, Kellis, Smurf, Jaquil, we've really been like coming up with some really, really dope ideas and really getting this last little bit of work off, you know. But Doc and I have been doing a lot of grunt work, a lot of grunt work. So
that's one way to put it.
Yeah.
My, but it's good. I've spent a ridiculous amount of time in my office lately. That's all.
How does the missus feel about that? Is she cool with that?
She's been real supportive. I mean, granted, she has a special guest appearance on the album.
She does. Shout out to her. Appreciate that.
So
she did amazing.
So, you know, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. She's been real supportive. I have to keep, after years of me working on projects that have always just been like music, like mixtapes, like giving stuff away, like I had to like convince her, like, nah, for real, people are gonna be able to buy this one. Like, this is a deal. This is a thing. You know,
people don't realize this is my second album. Like, we put out so much product. Like, I don't think it's registered that this is actually gonna be, as you said, a thing.
Yeah, this is this isn't like, because you know, it's what she was saying. Because I always try to test out like mixes and everything on different speakers, and I was playing some stuff downstairs through my big like, you know, speakers that are like 4 feet tall, uh-huh. And she's like, this sounds a little too good for something you're gonna give away, and I'm like, we're not giving this away. She's just used to, I mean, I don't blame her, you know.
Yeah,
I've been giving away music forever, so
yeah, it's weird making that transition. It's weird, but that's stuff where Doc and I are planning some to really give some real insight to the album for those of you who've been waiting, and you know, we know we have a lot of artists who listen to the show as well. We're gonna give a lot of insight. That transition from mixtape to album, I definitely underestimated it, but we're gonna talk about that a little closer to the release date.
Yeah, I could talk about that for about 3 hours right now because I'm living it right now. But I mean, I'll just give you know. Yeah. Let me just say, like, the work it took to even like some of the songs that I did for Catch Up 2, like compare the work I did there to the work for this, it's just not.
Yeah. Even, yeah. Know? We did a tribute to DJ GQ in what, like 45 minutes?
45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, even Walking Contradiction, we didn't. But that was like, now that used to be the rule, that has quickly turned into the exception.
But even still, like, you don't need, like, when I'm doing the mastering for that, like I'm sitting there and tweaking and playing and listening. Like I'm doing all sorts of, like the initial like first cut was 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. But we're gonna save that for a whole other show. We might have to do like a, I don't know.
Oh, we're doing a few things. I'll talk to you about
all
that.
Right, we need to talk about that later. So we don't want this to just be the let's complain about Cairo show. So right, because we got a lot of music to talk about.
Yes, we do. Finally,
because it's been 2 weeks.
But why did we take the break off, Doc? Why did we take a week off?
Because last week there just wasn't a whole lot going on.
God bless hip hop for not doing anything for a week.
Kind of.
I'm not gonna be mad at you. Know what I realized though, Doc? Like, I think people appreciated that break because a lot of people that I talked to actually had, shout out to Jay Givens, who was on Kairos. He hit me up last week and asked if we were going to do anything about Tyler, the Creator's album, Wolf. And I said, hey, you know, we kind of touched on it last episode. And this was a reoccurring theme. I always hear this. I got to catch up.
Mm.
So, you know.
That's a great transition, right? Because we talked about it real quick, but we wanted to give it a little bit more time to marinate. To percolate.
Yeah. no hateration or holleration in this dancery.
We need a little more E-40 slang.
Oh, no, that was Mary J. Blige, Family Reunion.
I was thinking, percolate, that's E-40, percolate.
Yeah.
No, I can't handle any E-40 sound effects. But speaking of Tyler's album.
Yeah.
So you've been listening to this on and off a little bit?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I've been in Kairos mode, but
yeah,
when I'm not in Kairos mode, yeah, this is definitely getting a lot of play. This has not left the galaxy. This is still
It's in rotation on the galaxy.
Definitely in rotation on the galaxy, which is a big thing because I have Spotify and I have my Google Cloud. So if I don't want something, I'll just throw it on my computer and just save it for a rainy day. But if you're actually on the phone and I've got you on Power Amp, which is the app that I use where I can, you know, adjust the EQ and all that good stuff, it's a good sign.
Yeah, it's like, nah, I'm not just streaming. Like, I've committed my phone storage to your
cause.
Look at
that. Dedication, B.
I think this album's really interesting. I think I'm more interested musically than lyrically.
Absolutely.
But I think lyrically is some... I want to talk about the music first and then finish up with the lyrics because I sort of want to contrast and compare Tyler's content with this continuous Rick Ross controversy.
Okay.
Right. But so, like, if we talk music, I think I probably used this exact phrase when we talked about it 2 weeks ago, but, you know, this is very NERD meets, to me, it's like that 2004, 2005, like Mad Villain, and, you know, Food, like that sort of feel for the majority of this album. There are definitely songs like Tamale or Domo 23 where I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
There's an Odd Future stretch on this album.
Yeah.
There's about three or four records that like go in that vein of what I had pretty much said, okay, this is the Odd Future sound. So, I mean, the minute from the intro when everything switches and it becomes Lush, you're instantly like, wait a minute, hold on. This isn't what I expected at all. But, you know, Odd Future fans would tell you that he's been on this kick for a minute. It's not the dominant sound. He'll kind of sprinkle in. It's more Damo 23 and Trash Wang and Rusty. And then, you know, you'll hear an occasional Beamer or IFHY or whatever. But now that's completely switched on this album.
Yeah, you know, Jamba, the hook on that is, because the beat sort of teases you, right? You sort of hear it going one way, and then those Neptunes-ish keys come in, and you're like, woo!
Yeah, same with Cowboy. Those keys on that hook are retarded.
Yeah, real grimy. Like, Tyler's got the Lush sort of, I don't want to say jazzy, but we'll say...
Definitely jazzy.
Little jazzy, little NERD-ish.
He said his next album is... Or I don't know if his next album, but he's definitely doing a jazz album. Like, he loves jazz.
So he's got that sort of sound, but he's got, like, the grimy sound, like songs like Cowboy, Pigs, Rusty. Then he's got, like, the I'm going to go and do my old Odd Future thing. Yeah. Like, he's definitely got a couple different sounds on here. But, you know, Cowboy's dope. Yeah. Awkward, that beat is...
That beat is tough.
Answer's
tough.
Answer's very NERD circa like 2008.
Yeah.
Once they learn how to play their own instruments.
Answer's tough.
How do you feel about Colossus?
You know, we're still just talking about the music, right? We're not talking about his rhymes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well then let's save Colossus because that's a discussion about the lyrics.
Yeah. Let's right. I mean, I like it's Slater. Somebody tell me, one of our listeners, and maybe you know Doc, but is Slater like a Jill Scott sample?
I don't know. Slater's all right. I'm not really big on Slater.
It's cool, but it's something about the sample, man. It sounds really familiar. But you know, Beamer's dope.
I think
Party Isn't Over is dope.
Yeah, I think Beamer's really good, but I think people really flipped out over that first snippet.
That because it was a snippet.
Yeah, people
Tyler
like the
played
snippets.
That perfectly.
There's better stuff on this album.
Yes, IFHY.
I think Party Is It Over is better than Beamer.
Could be. I'm not mad at that.
But IFHY is incredible.
IFHY is bananas.
That beat, Pharrell in the second half.
Oh my god, Pharrell in the second half is incredible.
What's great about it is like if you didn't see him on the track listing, this whole album he's been sort of weaving in these like sonic references to this like. Decade-old Neptune sound.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Pharrell pops up and you're like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, wait, that's not Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, shout out to him for not being, you know, very rapperish and including, because he has some guests on this album. He's got Nas on here, Erykah Badu's on here, and the track listing, everything does not have features listed.
Yeah, Erykah Badu's part on Tree Home 95.
Tree Home 95 is incredible.
It is incredible. That, again, that real jazzy feel. That might be the jazziest song on the album. Like, if you use
without
the word
question.
Jazzy.
Without question.
I do like I really like the Colossus Parties and Over Campfire Bimmer, then IFHY, Pigs. Like, I like that whole middle stretch there. To me, that's the strongest stretch of the album.
Mm.
I like Rusty.
Tell me you saw his Letterman performance.
How are you going to perform Rusty?
Dog, that was that? I know people talk about Fallon and when it comes to Tyler's performances.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That was dope. That was dope. It was awkward.
So awkward.
He caught himself. I mean, the Soul Train Temptation dancing in the background, the editing themselves, and then all of a sudden, Tyler got lost in the moment and just went straight, like, forget this. I'm going to just do the song. Walking off stage awkwardly afterwards, the pause in the applause before people started clapping. It was the selfie with Letterman. I mean, it was dope. It was dope. I liked it. I liked it.
I even like Lone. I think Lone gets better as that song goes along. But I think the sequencing on this album is kind of weird.
Yeah, it is.
But you could, if you cut some of these, to me, I mean, look, I'm not an Odd Future guy, so they might be the more traditional Odd Future tracks like Trash Wang, Domo 23. I don't know what the heck Tamale's supposed to be.
He made that for Rihanna. And ended up keeping it for himself.
But you cut like four songs off here. You know, move things around a little bit so that you don't get too many songs that sound the same. Mm-hmm. You might have something.
I mean, I think even now you have something.
I think it's really compelling. It's just now there's missing pieces, right?
Do you think it's missing pieces? Or do you think they created the puzzle and there's still pieces left over? Like, there's things that that came in the box that they didn't really need.
I think that an album is not simply a bunch of tracks. Like, if you put stuff that doesn't need to be there, you do take away.
Mm.
But I've been on that tip since
yeah,
forever. I don't know. Like, I approach it this way. Like, if you have a painting that's like a work of art, and then you go and like splash some extra color on the side.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, you don't have to worry about it. You just, you know, ignore that part. No, it's the whole thing.
Right.
But let's talk lyrics.
Okay.
Well, I'm more interested in this kind of, like, he's a really interesting rapper to me. Yeah. He's capable.
Definitely capable.
I don't know if he wants to be capable. Or if he's just still maturing as a person and as a rapper.
I think he's maturing as a person because he's very Drake-y on this album.
You think he's Drake-y?
Yeah. Like, oh, I got fame and I hate it.
See, to me, it came off, and maybe it's because of his other content, but it feels more like old Eminem to me. Colossus specifically.
I mean, just, are you talking about because of the gay guy who...
No, but Colossus feels like Colossus is obviously his version of Stan, but
yeah,
I
didn't really get an Eminem vibe from it. I hate fame. I didn't sign up for this. That was the theme of this album. I didn't sign up for this.
A little bit. There might be a little bit of that, but I don't know. He sort to me even like just the way that he sounds sort of sounds like a weird combo of RBX and Eminem.
Wow, RBX. He'd actually appreciate that. yeah. I love his rap voice. His rap voice is dope. He's a very dope rap voice. And like you said, he's capable. I just think that I am a conduit of the best artists go through things and know how to channel that into music.
Yeah.
And right now, I think that the way that it comes off, I think he's gone through enough because he talks about things. But he's in the middle of it. He's not looking back. He's not looking at it, like stepping back and looking at it and seeing the big picture. He's just kind of in the house.
Okay.
So I think as long as you're there and you're not trying, or I'm not gonna say you're not trying to get out, but I think as long as you're there, it's harder for you to say, all right, you know, I'm going to rap about it this way as opposed to me just looking at the problem face up and addressing it. I think in, you know, like five, because he's definitely smart and intelligent. This isn't,
yeah, even he though is. He claims he's not an idiot.
Yeah, even though he claims this whole reckless thing, and they do get a little crazy sometimes, he's not at all stupid. They, Odd Future, they know exactly what they're doing as a brand, exactly what they're doing. But I just think, you know, he gets a little maturity in some other areas of his life. He comes back. He has the potential to really do something with this sound, with his level of production, and then his capabilities to really rap. He definitely has potential to do something and have some longevity.
Yeah, he's got to get the content problem under. Yeah, he's got to get that in control, though.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to stand for this. People don't stand for this sort of stuff anymore.
No, this isn't 98, 99, 2000. And I don't want to hear anybody say, well, he's 22, because, you know, some of your favorite artists made some of their best albums when they were young, too. So,
I think there's a little bit to be said for still, like, growing, whatever. But, like,
sure,
he's got a very small window to, like, get out of that before he becomes, like, sort of pigeonholed as a shock rapper.
I thought he was done, actually, before this album. I thought he was done. I thought Odd Future turned into a joke. I thought that people were just like, you know, like it was Frank. Like, Frank blew up and Frank was just going to leave all of them kind of in the dust. Not literally, but star power wise. But people love Tyler. Did 90,000 with no single.
His production is saving his career.
It is. The leak helped him.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a case where he needed the leak.
Yep.
Right.
Beamer helped. The Beamer video helped, and the leak helped immensely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So it's funny you mentioned, you know, it's not 98, 99 anymore, because you mean Meek Millie. Rushing to the defense of Rick Ross.
I saw about that. What did he say?
Basically, he drew the comparison to, like, what Big, you know, Big said on some songs, you know, using, you know, talking about rape. And he's, like, and he's like, nah. And basically what Meek made it sound that, you know, this was all just some drummed up controversy by a bunch of, like, nerdy people on the internet.
Oh.
He played that card a little bit. And I just want to be like, yo, the world has changed, man. Like, whether you like it or not. And the other, you know, the other sort of issue is Ross is corporate. Like, my favorite part about Ross's apology was when he tweeted, is it wasn't because he was wrong.
Right.
It wasn't because he wanted people to be offended. It's because he was concerned about Reebok.
Absolutely. And I think the other one was like a liquor company or something
that. Yeah. Like, that tells you everything you need to know right there.
Absolutely. And then he dropped the Trick Don't Kill My Vibe video 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
But there's still some fallout from this.
Absolutely. You talking about the thing in Canada?
Yeah, he just the canceling shows.
Yeah. He's in trouble.
You think he's in trouble? Or you think this is just is he in the sort of trouble that a hit single and maybe a friendly, apologetic interview, like on a late night talk show or something, couldn't fix? I'm just saying.
I don't think Ross is comfortable enough in himself, and I don't think Ross has the conviction from this fallout to do something like that. Like, you almost got to parallel this with something like Chris Brown. Like, when the whole thing with Chris and Rihanna came out, initially, I believe that he was sincere, and he was like, yo, you know, I blacked out, I got issues. I believe that initially his sincerity came from him being like really sorry and, you know, not meaning to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all human. We all definitely make mistakes and we're all capable of doing anything. So, you know, compare that to, can you imagine Ross on Larry King? Like, can you really imagine Ross on Jimmy Kimmel? He's too cool. He's too much of a gimmick. He can't, like,
that's the problem, is the gimmick. I was waiting for you to say that, because, like, with Chris Brown, what he did was terrible.
Yeah.
Right. But it's no secret. Like, look at the way he acts. Like, he actually has an anger problem.
Absolutely.
Right. The problem is what Ross is rapping about is this sort of idea of date rape as an extension of his,
you know, rossery.
Rossery, his lifestyle, yeah. His brand.
Yeah.
Right? And his whole image, everybody knows that he's a contrived image, but you have to play within the rules. Like, nobody believes that he's like some like party guy who's trying to be reformed and he's really sorry because, like, no, this is all contrived.
Absolutely.
But for some reason, Ross thought it was okay to talk about date rape in a contrived way. Like, but that's the problem. I think the other problem is that there are still some people who think that what he's talking about isn't really rape. And I think that there's a little bit of that in the hip-hop community. Where they're just like, what are you talking about? It's just, you know, slipping mollies. Like, what's the deal?
It's
like,
just, nah, man. It's just music. This is the problem.
Right.
This is the problem. The problem is that hip-hop has a very... Hip-hop does a piss-poor job of accountability. Mm. Hip-hop does not teach accountability at all. And if you think that hip-hop doesn't raise and teach people, you're delusional. Because it does. So even Ross's apology just like skated around it. It was, hey Doc, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, that was irresponsible. Should have never said it. Shouldn't even thought it. You know, we're taking it off. I'm re-recording my verse.
Right.
He could have killed this real fast.
Really fast.
The cover up, the excuses are always worse.
Yep.
Always.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, to the point now, Rocco took him off the record.
Mm.
And now they're rushing out a remix. He says he has 6 artists on there, but I know for sure one of them has Kanye and Kendrick on it. So, I mean, and that's like one of the hottest records. That's about to be one of the hottest records of the spring. Yeah, the spring. And Ross just kind of blew it.
But didn't the controversy helps Rocco, though. Nobody was talking about the song.
No, it was a regional record, and I think it would have been big like a Bugatti or something like that, or maybe like a notch or two lower.
Yeah, definitely notch below Bugatti. Bugatti had the good fortune of blowing up during spring break.
Mm.
Yep. If you're that kind of record, you want to blow up during spring break because what happens is all those college kids then come home, and that's what they're playing.
They want a soundtrack to recapture those memories.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Just rack up those Spotify plays.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I mean, Raw, in that instance, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said that the culture and the times have changed, because you think about DMX rapped about rape all the time.
Eminem. But again, I'll say that people felt like DMX had demons. People felt like Eminem was troubled. Nobody thinks Rick Ross is troubled. I think that there might still be, much like with... it's a little different, but much like with Tyler's got gay slurs all over his album, but people look at Tyler as like a weird dude. Nobody looks at Ross like he's troubled or weird or unusual. They look at him like he's corporate and a creation. So there is no tolerance for stuff like this. Now, there really shouldn't be any tolerance, but people have even less tolerance when your whole thing is an image.
Mm.
I think that's part of the problem too.
And I think that's why he's done.
I don't think he's done.
I think he's done.
I think he's got some work to do.
I think MMG, they've got to do some serious work to do it. I think MMG is really about to separate. And I think Meek is done. I think Wale is good. Omarion has potential. But no, I'm serious. I wholeheartedly believe that Maybach, other than the BET Awards, has not made any mistakes since joining with MMG. His mixtape was dope.
But nobody cared about it.
His new single is dope. They don't care about him. And that's the bad part. That's the part that I hate about music, is that we deal with so many other factors outside of the music itself, is that it locks people out, but it also traps people as well.
No, I think his problem is, what is he other than just another male urban artist trying to get on those urban R&B charts? What does he bring to the table that's different?
He's not bringing anything different.
Then is he the best singer, or is he executing the best, or anything like that? Or does he have the best songwriting? He has none of that. He doesn't stand out.
Who are some, when you think of male R&B, who do you think of?
I think Miguel, Frank Ocean, I think Chris Brown.
Okay.
And I want to talk about Chris Brown's single in a second.
Yeah.
I think even the Dream, who's like not on that level popularity wise, but right off on the side. But the Dream has his own thing. Chris Brown, first of all, despite what you might think about him personally, he always executes. And his thing is he dances. You think it's stupid?
Omarion doesn't dance, son?
Nobody wants to see Omarion dance.
I still had that GIF on deck. That's the greatest picture ever. Like, come on.
Right? I don't know. Frank Ocean, he's got a whole different style. And even, like, Miguel's even playing in his own lane. I'm not the biggest Miguel fan, but he's not playing. Like, to me, like, Omarion's playing in the exact same lane as Chris Brown.
I'd say he's more in the Trey Songz lane.
To me, those are they're all the same artists.
I think Chris and Trey are different.
I'd
say Chris before Trey.
As somebody who's not really big into R&B, they seem like the same artist to me.
Nah. Trey Songz is like... Nah. He's not. He's very one-dimensional.
I'll give him that. But to me, they're all right in the same lane, at least. The same type of artist.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with being an urban R&B artist. Now it's about to be cool because of Timberlake and Beyonce. Like, oh, we're making R&B.
I think that's different. I just don't think there's as much of an audience for the non-superstars.
No, there's not.
Right?
I agree with that.
All right.
I agree with that.
So it's a lot of R&B talk. So let's talk about this Chris Brown single.
Yeah.
Chris Brown as a human being drives me crazy. But this single is fire.
Tough.
The video is super cheesy.
So I couldn't even watch it.
Super cheesy. But this is 80s MJ all day.
All day.
I'm a little disappointed. These little snippets we're hearing from The Dream, we're not getting enough of that 80s, or like late 80s, early 90s. MJ Dangerous vibe I was hoping for.
Oh, he would kill it if he did a Dangerous album. I didn't even think of that.
When he's not really going for that. He's still stuck on 94 Jodeci, which I'm not mad at, but we've heard that from him before.
Right. I don't want to hear that from him unless he has Tricky with him.
You heard that song Foreplay, right?
Yeah, I've heard it.
He's trying. That's the same Jodeci vibe we've heard from him 1,000 times.
Yep.
We've heard that Dream song before.
Yep, exactly.
I want to hear, okay, you gave Nobody's Business to Rihanna and Chris Brown.
Right.
Where are those records? Where are those records? And you know what? If Foreplay is just one of the songs off the album and he's got like 3, 4, 5 records on the level of Nobody's Business, then I would be happy to revisit my statement.
Right.
But what I've heard from The Dream so far of the album, I'm not impressed with.
No, me neither.
All right.
I read two reviews from the listening session that he had last week.
I read one.
One was the awkward one that I sent you from Village Voice.
That was the one I read.
There was another one that was actually on Twitter. It was like play by play. That was a lot more favorable for Tarius. Heard the record with Jay is dope. Heard the record with Beyonce is crazy. Heard there's some stinkers, but all in all, people are saying that it's way better than 1977. Of course, nobody compared it to his first 2 or 3 albums, which is what, you know, Doc and I want to know if it's on that vein, because I could care less if it's better than 1977.
Yeah, I want to, you know, I just hope he goes back to that whole, like, I've got these 3 or 4 songs that are going to be linked together in a row and they're going to fall. And like, that's what we want to hear from The Dream.
Right. Yep. I don't want to hear any fade outs on this album.
Is it sad that when I was looking at the SoundCloud like waveform of Foreplay and I saw that it faded out, I was like, oh no. I was like, it's not meant to be linked. I was getting mad. Like,
oh man, you're crazy.
Nerdery. Let's see. Actually, you know, speaking of generic R&B artists.
Uh-oh.
Your boy Ray J.
Do we have to talk about this? I guess so, huh?
I want to give, you know what? The idea to use a pixelated image of Kim for the cover is hilarious. I mean, dude's a scumbag of the highest level, but it's hilarious.
What's even worse is that the internet found the original picture in like 3 minutes.
That didn't take long. You know what? It's funny. If you look at the picture like when it's large,
yeah,
you kind of see, but not really. But again, shout out to SoundCloud. All these blogs now embed everyone's SoundCloud, right? If you look at the little tiny SoundCloud from far away, the smaller that image gets, the more it looks like it.
Right? The more it looks like what?
The more it looks like the original picture.
Okay.
Because those pixels are so big. But when you view it small, all of a sudden you're like, oh, it kind of makes sense.
Okay.
But I hit it first. It's terrible. It's awful.
Yeah, I couldn't get past. I didn't get past the first verse.
No, I couldn't. That's all I need.
I'm shocked. You've listened to some trash for the people.
Yeah, for the people.
You couldn't get past the first verse if I hit it first?
No.
I'm shocked.
This is a 15 minutes of fame for him. Right? There's nothing else coming for him.
Listen, Clock Radio speakers. You can't do this, yo. Like, no longer is scorn attached to a gender. Hell have no fury like a woman scorned. That ideology is thrown out of the window now, because this is a man scorned, like, to the highest degree. Like, you can't say, well, you know, that's cool, but I had sex with her first. Like, who cares?
You think it's scorn?
Yes!
I think it could be scorn, but you might, the one way to look at it is you might give him a little bit of credit, because if this were anybody other than Kanye, I would give you scorn. But we all expect Kanye to say Ray J's name in a song at some point in the next 2-3 months, right? Right?
Yeah.
And if you're Ray J and your objective is to get your name said as often as possible so you can pop up for these little radio interviews, that's or try pathetic. To parlay your way into some terrible reality thing or whatever.
That's pathetic.
It's pathetic, but it's going to work. The best thing Kanye could do is never mention his name.
Yeah. You said they're like Funk Flex.
You know what? I got the mic on a stand now. I feel like I'm in a radio station right now. That's what's going on. We've upgraded here in Clock Radio Speakers headquarters.
I agree with you, though.
All right. But maybe, you know what? He could just be trolling. He could just be an idiot. Like, maybe I should give him that much credit.
What else are we talking about, man?
Let's talk about bumping up a couple levels of quality on the R&B side. You hear this Miguel Kendrick remix?
I did.
What do you think?
It's different. I was wondering what Miguel was going to release off of this album. Wasn't this on my top 10?
Yeah.
Okay. I really like Kaleidoscope Dream. There's a whole bunch of singles on this album. I wholeheartedly believe, I didn't make this point on Clock Radio Speakers, I did on Twitter. I wholeheartedly believe people are saying that, you know, Timbaland is responsible for this rejuvenation of R&B. But Miguel and Frank Ocean, like, that's all that Timbaland album is in retrospect. I really haven't listened to it like that. I played it this weekend for the first time, probably since we did the show. And all I hear is Miguel and Frank Ocean with a hint of Robin Thicke. Now I get what you were saying 2 months ago. But as far as Miguel goes, I was wondering what he was going to release next off of this album. He definitely has some singles. The album definitely has longevity. This is the most R&B-ish song on the album. Like, the album is very experimental. They did the Vibe cover to get together.
Yeah, I saw that.
So it makes sense. I'm not mad at it. I guess I just got to get used to hearing Kendrick on, like, R&B remixes. I'm so used to hearing him, like, rappity rap. He sounds like Andre on this.
I thought he sounded a little bit like Wayne. Kendrick sometimes phones in these guest verses, huh?
Definitely. You think this was phoned in?
It's not as phoned in as, like, some of these other ones we heard, but it's not.
The K-Slay one with Papoose? Can we debunk the rumor that Papoose only sold 300 records first week?
Wait, how many did he actually sell?
Five.
5,000. Okay, I thought you meant 500.
No,
I was like,
no, he sold 500. Nah, he did 5,000.
5,000?
Yeah.
4,500 of that were in the tri-state area.
Yeah, of course. They all had Geno Green and Geno Green hoodie.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? I'm going to run into somebody someday who's wearing a Geno Green fitted, and he's going to beat me to a spec.
You know, there's people on the internet. You know how, like, you know how artists have fans?
I've heard that artists have fans.
Yeah.
You heard artists? Artists release albums?
Yeah, they have people that support them. No, man. What I'm saying, like, you know, people, artists have fans who get on the internet and just Google their name. And then if anybody says anything bad about them, they, like, rush to their defense. Like the stands, you know, Joe Budden has the internet soldiers. You know, they say Beyonce has the beehive and stuff like that. Sure, Papoose has those fans. There are people who...
Do they have a good nickname like that?
I don't know.
Like, can we think of one for 5 minutes here and see if we can't brainstorm?
Okay, Papoose.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway. If you got a name for Papoose's army, hit us up. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Or if you have a question that you want answered on the show, or if you have a show idea, an album that you want us to review, go to clockradiospeakers.com/ask, A-S-K. Send us the picture, or send us your question, send us show ideas, and Doc and I will, you know, if it's a dope idea, we'll do it. Why not?
I was going to say, send us the picture. I was like, whoa.
No, nobody. No. I don't think this was phoned in for Kendrick, though. It was cool.
It was okay.
Fly analogy. It was all right. The record didn't need a remix. The record is strong enough on its own.
Can I ask something about Kendrick, though?
Sure.
Since the album, he's had a lot of guest verses out there.
Yes, he has.
Have any of them been memorable?
No.
Anybody?
Other than I'd say FM Problems has some. You know, that one's probably his most memorable. I'd say that. Other than that, no, not really.
Yeah, that's sort of bothering me a little bit. I don't know. And frankly, his guest verses leading up to the album.
We talked about that on the show.
We're also not that great. Nah. So I'm not that concerned, but I would sort of, you know, everybody's sort of ready to pass in the crown. Right?
Yeah.
I would like to see, I mean, this sounds stupid, but isn't it sort of a thing in hip-hop to be able to, like, jump to do a guest verse and kill it?
Yeah, I think that he's almost in that Wayne vein where his work ethic is what's going to get him the crown. And again, 2013 is going to be a super heavy year. We're already in the April complex, came out with that list, and they already gave him the crown for this year. We still got Drake. We still got nothing. Nothing was the same.
We've probably got Kanye.
We've probably got Jay.
I'm not worried about Jay.
Yeah, I mean, still, that's still going to be a heavy album no matter what.
No, but I'm thinking from like the heavy hitters, like the fact that you've got.
Now Jay's not a heavy hitter?
Lyrically, you think Jay's a heavy hitter in 2013? As a top flight MC?
Top flight MC. I mean, I liked his verse on Don't Kill My Vibe.
That was super overrated.
I liked him on, Kendrick's third verse was super overrated.
That whole song was overrated.
I liked him on Watch the Throne. I don't think Jay's fall off is that crazy. I just think he's coasting. He's coasting at a comfortable pace.
I agree.
Which I'm not mad at.
No, I'm not mad at it. In fact, you know, his work on Watch the Throne was much better than Blueprint 3.
Way better. Night and day.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying, like, and maybe this is wrong to say, but I mean, dude's been around a long time. We're coming up on, has it been, Hawaiian Sophie was what, 89?
Yeah, 89, 90.
Right, so you know, what, 24, 23 years since he first got his introduction. We are 17 years since his debut album. Like, I hope I'm going to get a great album, but I'm not expecting a new, like, sound or a new thing from him. Like a genre-defining album. I don't think Jay has that in him anymore.
I don't think so either. Right. I agree with that.
All right.
Speaking of Jay, did you listen to Dame Dash's interview on Combat Jack?
I haven't yet. I saw that pop up. I need to add that to my podcast list.
You do. That is my favorite podcast. Love that show. The first maybe 20 minutes of it is really good, really insightful. Talks about his past and stuff. But then the crux of it is the argument between him and Just Blaze.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, he was snapping on Just. Just was obviously holding that in.
Yeah.
And I guess they hadn't spoke really since then, or, you know, since Rock kind of fell out.
That's a long time.
That's a long time to be harboring something like that. Like, yeah. That's crazy. That's like the guy in the wheelchair on Chappelle. Remember when Chappelle got rich? He went... When he got revenge on everybody. That's what that reminds me of. But the last half of the interview is really good. He talks about Aaliyah, and he talks about, you know, Rachel Roy, and he talks about, you know, what Rock, he talks about Jay, and he talks about what the Rockefeller breakup, what that did to him and how he felt about it. It's really good. Highly suggest you check it out. It's good.
All right, so what else we got? We got your man Wyclef with that Started From the Bottom remix.
Speaking of Drake, Wyclef. Oh man,
that was awful. That was awful.
That was crazy. You gotta love Sosa one too. Did you hear that one?
No. I was just laughing so hard. I was just sitting there and I'm like, really? Really? Like, this is the gift and the curse of the internet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, anybody's got a webcam. Yep. Even Wyclef. let's see what else is going on. We never talked about the Jeezy RIP remix.
That's where I was going.
With Chris Brown. Hey. Kendrick. Yeah. Well, no, I'm, you know, hey, Chris Brown's making gay jokes about Drake. Woohoo. Anybody care about Chris Brown?
Does anybody care about Chris Brown rapping? Is the more important question. Fine China's dope. Fine China's gonna, you know, get him some. It's got the potential to give him some pull, if he finagles it right. But does anybody want to hear like another mixtape or whatever from Chris Brown, the rapper? Nah,
he can flow. He can technically rap.
He can rap,
but he has no content.
Not at all. Not at all.
Between, you know. This is making me sound old, right? But, you know, between him rapping and The Dream thinking that people want to hear his voice, you know, screwed up for a whole song.
About him rapping about running R&B?
And between, you got that, but then you got rappers singing rap. Man, what's going on? No, I just, that's what it feels. No, but like, I'm sorry, let me get my cane. I'm going to sit on the stoop for a while. Like, I feel very old when I say this, but no, like, I don't know. Chris Brown, the RIP. I don't really like the RIP song. I'm just not a DJ Mustard fan. He did this beat along with, you know, I'm Different, which this is basically I'm Different Part 2.
That's all his beats are like that.
I know that. Is he from Cali?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we talk about this Tyga album.
Yeah. Is DJ Mustard, is he from Bay Area maybe?
If not, he's going up there. He's getting money up there.
Because it feel like his synths and everything, they feel very, I'm going to say hyphy. Yeah, a little bit. Remember the hyphy craze?
Of course. Of course. Keep the sneak.
Anything that introduced the world to Ghost Riding the Whip, I'm okay with.
You talking about the song?
I'm talking about the YouTube videos of people Ghost Riding their whip. Like,
remember there was a song that, what was that guy's name? Mr. Fab did that sampled the Ghostbusters
thing. Yeah.
I remember that my introduction to Ghost Riding the Whip was the video of the guy Ghost Riding the Whip and then the people running behind him and stealing his car. Like, yeah, not getting out of my car to dance. No, thank you. In my Arthur Spooner voice.
Did you listen to this? I'm still gonna call him Mos Def. This Mos Def Manny Fresh collabo.
I listened to that, and I listened to the Kanye record, the Light Is Not Afraid of the Dark.
How you feeling about Mr. Yasiin Bey these days?
I'm not at all. And you know the way that you listen to Life Is Good, That's the way I listen to Mos Def projects.
You expect a lot.
I expect a lot, you know, because I definitely, we've talked about this. I held Black and Both Sides at a very high regard. Didn't age that well, but it's still got nostalgia factor to me, so I can still listen to it.
What do you like more, that or Black Star?
That.
Really?
Yeah. They weren't there yet on Black Star. Black Star got some joints twice in a lifetime.
The beats are better on Black Star. The beats are much better on Black Star.
I disagree.
Respiration, Twice in a Lifetime, Redefinition.
Thieves in the Night.
Yeah. Thieves in the Night. The beats are crazy on Blackstar.
They are. All right. They are.
All right.
They are. I went back, but see, that was me, though. It's probably personal because I went back. You know, I hated Definition. So that turned me off the Blackstar.
You hated Definition?
I hated Definition.
How can you hate Definition?
Hated it. I mean, it's better now, but when it was out, nah. What is this? Who are these bums riding in this van? Rapping. Oh. I found out they worked in a library together. Like, man, get these bums out of here.
You got your Uncle Rucker on.
I did. But then they turned into Mos Def and Talib Kweli. Mos dropped, you know, one of my favorite ad campaigns ever.
The Brand Jordan.
Nah. I was talking about when Mos dropped Black on Both Sides and Pharrell dropped Internal Affairs a week after. Love that. I had the post up in my locker. Perfect. Talib dropped, you know, Reflection Eternal. Love that album. But nah, I hold most in a very high regard. New Danger was, it's better now, but I hated it when it came out. Black Magic was terrible. The Ecstatic was meh. So, you know, then I hear, hey, Mos Def and Manny Fresh are putting out an album together. And instantly I'm like, okay, this might work. That's really interesting. It's a weird dynamic, but it could work. I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is. I don't know what this record is.
Black Jesus is, I don't know what it is. I want to say interesting, but that might be giving too much credit to it.
No, it's not interesting at all. The idea is interesting.
Okay.
But the execution is very like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what everybody said. Like, really?
Like, if you could have told me anybody produced this. I don't understand what's Manny Fresh about this.
Yeah, I want to hear a bunch of unnecessary claps and drum rolls on this and keys and like Casio keys. That's what I want to hear. And I want to hear him, you know, it's the number one Big Bubba. I want to hear that. I want to hear Manny like doing that stuff on the hook. I think it'll work.
Now you got me. I need to go back and listen to some Big Timers.
Yes, you do. How You Let That Volume 2. Now, Kimasabi, Big Ballin' Is My Hobby. Whoa.
What was the album after that?
I mean, it went How You Let That Volume 1, Volume 2, It's All On You, Volume 1, Volume 2, that was BG, then 400 Degrees, then Chopper City.
I'm trying to think, what was the Big Timers album like, 2000, 2001, 2002?
Was Still Fly on it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember.
I had that Screwed and Chopped, and whatever the record was with Ludacris, I used to listen to that Screwed and Chopped all the time. I'm digging back in my memory right now. Anyway, I seen Bay Manny Fresh.
I got that work.
I got that work. I'm good off this. Although, you know, so Manny's got this. He's got this theoretical like production deal with good music. Have you heard anything from Manny that's led you to believe he's got heat still left?
I heard, the last thing I heard was from a cat. You heard of a cat named D1?
No.
New Orleans rapper. He did a record where he sampled Carl Thomas, I Wish. It was cool.
The sample alone hooked you in.
Of course. Come on, of course. But it was cool. I know that it was one of those, like, it was dope for that factor. But it was like, okay, man, he can really do something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
I'm looking at this track list. I'm thrown off because I'm looking at this track listing, and the very first song is Get Your Roll On.
That song is great.
That song is amazing.
Although they had PT Cruisers in the video. I don't think we should. That's probably the worst car ever invented. Have you ever driven a PT Cruiser?
No, but I used to want one.
No, they're terrible. Awful. My car got wrecked a couple years back. Not really wrecked, more like the whole driver's side got crumpled in. But So the rental place gives me a PT Cruiser for like a month. Oh my goodness, man! It's like driving a small 4-cylinder Chevy, but with all this extra crap around you. Terrible. Like I got in and I was like, wow, I didn't realize they had like 6-year-old cars that they rent. And they're like, no, this is from this year. And I was like, what? It just there's nothing special about it. I can't believe that people thought that car was cool.
Man.
I know. I'm destroying your childhood right now.
You are destroying my childhood because I used to want that so bad.
Do you want it with the wood grain on the side?
Of course. Of course. With the two-tone glitter paint. Was the candy paint?
Candy paint.
Oof. Come on, son. Crazy. Crazy. So... yeah, man. But nah, I gotta hear something. I'm still open minded to the collaboration, but that's a bad thing.
You need to hear something good.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Actually, speaking of interesting collaborations,
yeah,
your man Big Sean.
Yeah.
In Common.
Yeah.
Switch Up, which is this really the first single?
It's the first leak.
First real leak since the last failed single.
Guap, yeah, they really tried with that Guap record.
They tried, they pushed it, they did what they could, but
they had Moolah and they went with Guap. Yeah. Really stupid. I think Sean said this isn't the single, this is just
the leak.
A leak.
All right, well, I feel better about it if it's just a leak.
Yeah, it's just a leak.
How do you feel about this song?
It's all right.
I think this is interesting. I think the beat is oddly dope. Common sounds really out of place on this, but yeah, this is the sort of production I want to hear with Big Sean.
Mm.
I think it's just, it feels new to me. I like that. You know, like stuff he did, like Guap. I mean, Guap and Moolah. Like that feels like songs that other people could make. Switch Up. That sounds like a Big Sean record.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with that. I'll agree with that. I don't have much insight to that. But I mean, it's okay. It really didn't make me want to, like, I got to hear this again.
Mm.
But, you know.
Is there any other? Oh, you know, I can't believe I haven't talked about this yet. Because we got two albums I want to talk about.
Uh-oh.
But before we get that far, your man, Ladies Love Cool James.
Dang it! I thought we were going to get away with not talking about this.
Your man, Brad Paisley. That would be a country singer, for those of you who've been living under a rock and haven't heard about this travesty called Accidental Racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to have a real conversation about this.
Okay.
So...
You're a white man and I'm a black man.
you've seen Arrested Development, right? Or parts of it?
I've seen episodes, yeah.
So there's this, there's a character, Job, right?
Yep.
Will Arnett. And he's got this puppet named Franklin, who's black.
Okay.
Right? And they record this fake album where they were trying to heal people. Trying to heal the racial tensions, right? And the one song that they show them recording in the studio is called It Ain't Easy Being White, It Ain't Easy Being Brown. It is absolutely hysterical, and I almost thought it was like, this song was a joke. Like, I can't believe this song is real.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's talking about, like, he'll forget that there were chains. Like, what is going on here? Is the CBS money blinding him? Does he just live in a different world now?
No, I think you get older. I think you get older and I think you want to try different things. And I think that, you know, you're in Hollywood. And on top of that, LL obviously doesn't have the same writers that he had 10 years ago. Working on that GOAT album. Because to me, LL doesn't exist after Love You Better. So we try to talk about Exit 13 and Baby and
Headsprong.
Paradise is very nice.
And Ratchet.
Yeah, Headsprong. Yeah, Ratchet. Like those, that doesn't exist. LL.
How long ago was Ratchet?
Like 2 months ago.
He goes from Ratchet to Accidental Racist.
Well, the funny part is that he did a song with Joe, produced by Trackmasters, that kind of sounded like it should have been on, like, Mr. Smith. Like, it was in that late mid-90s vein.
Yeah.
And it was dope, and people were like, yo, LL is back. It was a dope record. But then immediately, you know, this comes out.
This song erases any piece of goodwill he could have possibly brought up. I watched a snippet of a video ABC News was interviewing. This has now become enough of a thing that, like, major news organizations are talking about the song. So, like, ABC News is interviewing the two of them. And listening to L's rationale for why the song needed to be made was absolutely hysterical.
Wow.
He talks about how we have a divided country. He's like, Al-Qaeda's trying to kill our kids and all this stuff. And then he's like,
really?
So we got to have our country together.
Wow.
Like, I was sitting there. I was just like, wow. Who is this guy?
Wow.
I mean, it's what happens. You get older, you know?
Nah.
You get older, things change, your outlook on life changes. I get it. I'm not even mad at the reasoning for trying to create the record. I'm not gonna say it's not necessary. It just wasn't executed well at all.
I'm trying to understand what makes somebody think it's a good idea to release a song called Accidental Racist.
Because they're trying to talk about acceptance. Isn't that the theme of this country? Acceptance and tolerance. So this is another form of acceptance. Like, okay, let's accept your differences. You accept my differences, and let's hug and let's walk around and frolic around the forest. It's just a bad song. We hear bad songs all the time.
This is more than a bad song. I would rather hear Wyclef and LL Cool J make a song called Accidental Racist. With a guest verse from Nicki Minaj. There's a lot of things I would rather hear than this.
So what's the best rap country song? Is it Over and Over Again with Nelly and Tim McGraw?
Let me stop you right there. I'm open to virtually all types of music. There is one exception, and that would be country music. It's dead to me. I'm sorry. Doesn't happen.
The way you feel about that is the way I feel about reggae.
Do I look like I listen to reggae?
Yes, actually.
Yeah. I got the Bob Marley poster hanging up here. You know, I'm embracing my, you know, my freshman year where it's like, hey, everybody, let's learn about marijuana again. when every white person decides to get into reggae because they heard it at a college party.
Were your freshman year of college, were the bottom of your feet dirty?
Nah.
Okay, well then you didn't really embrace it. You just tried it.
No, I didn't do that. But there were definitely some people.
Yeah, when you embrace it, like the bottom of your feet are like black, like darkness. Everybody black.
Dark. Nah. This is still Connecticut, right? Where, you know, everyone's walking around right now wearing Sperry's, and you know,
Sperry season has returned.
That's why when I saw you tweet the picture of Mean Street Posse, I immediately flashed in my head was I heard the Going Back to Cali, the LL Cool J beat, and then I'm picturing Armand rapping about sweater vests and Sperry's. Right,
like, I would only rap about Sperry's with women wearing Sperry's, because girls who wear Sperry's are dope.
No, this guy's wearing Sperry's everywhere.
Yeah, guys out here wear Toms. Toms are.
Oh, that's been going on.
Oh man,
we gotta get you out to Connecticut.
I do need to go out to Connecticut. You just have to take me by Vince McMahon's house. That's all I ask.
Yeah,
Titan Towers.
Okay, Titan Towers.
At least I gotta take a picture outside of Titan Towers.
Yeah, we can go down. I mean, that's Stanford. You know, that's like an hour and a half away from here. But you know, it's fine.
Really?
Yeah, it's closer to New York City than it is to me.
Really?
Yeah, Stanford's only like 45 minutes, 30 minutes out of New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Ha.
Hour by train. That's why a lot of people like to be in Stanford.
Got you. Makes sense. Okay.
All right. So now that we've talked Mean Street Posse, we've talked Wyclef, we've talked Brad Paisley, we're trying to set a record for the most random episode ever. Let's talk about some albums. I need to talk about this Ghostface album.
You go right ahead. I don't have anything to say about it.
You heard it.
I heard it.
You listened to the songs.
I did.
And how do you feel about this album?
I don't. This was like, hey, I couldn't get RZA, but here's somebody who sounds just like it. Mm. Let me shut my window. It's about to get ugly out here. Go ahead and go on your tangent about, you know, how much you love this album.
Wow, am I that predictable?
When I saw... There we go. When I saw your tweet about the intro, I got excited. I was like, okay, cool. This Ghostface intro is gonna be tough. Cause if I hear that, hey, Ghostface got this young producer, whoever, who is obviously inspired by RZA, that's not a diss.
Nah.
Great. I'll take it. Like, let's see what this is. And no. I'm good.
I declare war. Blood on the cobblestones. Unexpected call. The catastrophe. The sure shot. I wish RZA was still making records like this.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about 2013. Nope. We're not going to talk about RZA beyond what? Oh, what? Six? Seven?
You might
other
be stretching.
Than, other than White Dress?
And White Dress?
Nah, White Dress was Dark Twisted Fantasy. That was 10.
Was it real?
Yeah,
because it's auto-tune. So there are definitely times in this album where you realize that Ghost is getting old.
Yep.
But that's not the star attraction. The star attraction is, first of all, I want to give credit. This album has a concept. it does. Follows it all the way through. Mm-hmm. It tells a story. Mm-hmm. It's not too long. And it mm-hmm. sounds great. Mm. If you grew up on mid-90s Wu, you at least need to go listen to this album. And make up your own mind. But there's... Am I counting right? There are two Killa Sin features on this.
Yeah.
Killa Sin's dope. We got three Inspect... Oh, all right, you know what? Had enough of you. No, there are some hook issues on here, a couple. Specifically when they bring in anybody doing singing.
You don't like the little...
Here's the deal. This album is meant to sound like 36 Chambers mixed with, it feels like a forgotten soundtrack to a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic for me. It's ironic because RZA has been doing music for Tarantino for the past decade, and this is way better. These beats, man. I don't know. I declare war. Oh. I know how you feel about Master Killer. And yes, there's a Capadonna feature on here.
I thought so.
He sounds kind of weird.
He does.
Matter of fact, one, two, there's a lot of Master Killer on here.
One of the reasons why I don't like it.
We got some U-God. A U-God sighting.
Why didn't you say so? Let me pull listen to it again.
I can understand you having issues with Ghost's, I'll call it urgency, right? His flow has gotten a little slower.
It's a little slow, but that doesn't bother me about this album.
The beats bother you?
Yeah. They all sound like the music when Scooby-Doo was like in a dark room.
They all sound heavily influenced by 36 Chambers and specifically Iron Man.
And Scooby-Doo.
What is wrong with that?
It's just not my cup of tea, man.
Oh, man. This is dope. This is, the Adrian Young, I don't know how to pronounce the dude's last name. I'm guessing it's Young, but there's an extra E after the G, so.
Artistic.
Adrian Young. I need to go. He's got some solo stuff. I'm going to go digging because he might have some stuff in the sample because this dude's got... I had heard nothing from this album until I downloaded it. I was overjoyed compared to my expectations. I mean, granted, I didn't expect a whole lot, which is sad because we all know I'm the biggest Wu stan ever. But this is dope. Is
the Wu manual still on your coffee table?
No, but I think it's... Yeah, I see it in my office.
Okay.
I'm good.
Well, it's in your office. That's different. If it was like in your living room...
No. We, I love my wife, but I'm pretty sure she'd be like... Eh. You know, it's right next to Watchmen and All the President's Men. And I got a book from the Oatmeal. That might be the most random bookshelf in the history of bookshelf. I think this is a really good look for Ghostface of all people.
Okay. How so?
This is the best thing that anybody from Wu-Tang has done since Cuban Links 2. Easily.
What have they done since Cuban Links 2?
Had a couple random projects. It gets him back in the conversation.
Okay.
I want to give him credit because this is the sort of thing. Granted, I know you're not really a big fan of the beats, but to me, this is the sort of thing that we always hope veteran rappers do. This is within his wheelhouse. It is short. It is well executed. It is cohesive. He is not reaching or straining to reclaim his former status. This is right out of the Ghostface Killah catalog.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can't be mad because this isn't like Tush Part 2.
Never mind that. He's not Nori right now, who's trying to be like Nori from 96. Or even Nori from 01.
No.
Don't
who
say
it. Who is this Nori character you speak of?
Listen.
It's Poppy.
Listen, between Drake calling himself Champagne Poppy when he produces and Nori rebranding himself as Poppy, I can't handle that word. I just can't.
That's your man. That's your man.
But yeah, I would encourage everybody listening. Like, if you listen to this show, odds are you probably grew up on some of his old Wu stuff. Let me do this way. I was like halfway through the album and I'm like emailing Big T and I'm like, T, you need to go listen to this.
Wow.
Cause he emails me from time to time, like, cause you know, he's an adult now. He's not doing what I do, which is listen to every piece of music that comes out. So every time he's like, what should I be listening to right now? So I'll send him stuff or, you know, give him links or tell him go buy this or go stream this or whatever. So I didn't even wait for him to be prompted. I was like, nah, go listen to this.
Wow. Has he listened to it yet?
I don't know. I haven't heard back from him.
Okay.
But I'm surprised you don't, like, there's not even like a couple songs on here you like?
Nah.
Really? You know what the problem is? It's too warm. You're not trying to hit this album right now.
Yeah. Wait, did I listen to it on a warm day? I don't even remember. I don't remember. The last 2 days have been hot. I think I listened. What's today? Wednesday? I listened to it on Monday. So Monday was kind of...
You're not trying to hit this album right now.
I mean, I guess.
Nah, you really just don't like it, huh? Just not.
Nah, I don't think I like it.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's going to leave us plenty of time to talk about something that leaked out.
We missed two things.
What did we miss?
We missed this 54-track Funk Flex mixtape.
Listen, I can say nothing bad about a 54-track Funk Flex mixtape because
you can.
Because unbeknownst to the Clock Radio Speakers audience, I am currently assisting in a 57-track Best of Wale. All
right, listen.
Shout out to Superstar Jay.
Shout out to Superstar Jay.
You know, shout out to Wale who heard my ridiculous, overpacked, two-disc, 100-and-something-track Best of Jay-Z and reached out to Superstar Jay and said, how can we do one of these for me?
Well, I mean, I'll say this. That Wale tape doesn't have struggle like Pete Powers featuring My Son, Fred the Godson, Fat Joe, Corey Guns, Torch, and Oon P, produced by Harry Fraud. This is... I want to do an episode on this thing. When the intro track is a Lox record over a Jahlil Beats beat?
We can't do a track by track on a Funk Flex 2-disc mixtape, can we?
Sure we can.
For the people.
And we didn't talk about Tyga.
We didn't talk about Tyga. So...
You don't need to. All I can say is he threw the Rack City drums over Deep Cover. That should let you know about this album.
Yeah, when I heard the Deep Cover bass line, I was like, uh-oh. And then, yeah. You know, hearing Tupac go back and forth with Tyga on a DJ Mustard beat. 13-year-old Doc would be enraged. But, you know, 30-year-old Doc is resigned.
It's just like, you know what? Whatever.
Whatever. No, here's what I'll say. I don't think this album is entirely terrible.
It's not.
His problem to me is I think there's a whole lane open right now for an update of that traditional warm weather West Coast sound.
Yes.
Kendrick's not in that lane.
No, he's not in that lane. You've got people like
Pac Div should own that lane.
They should own that lane right now. They're totally silent. I really like are you up on Tehran and Ayo Mari?
I've heard some of this stuff because you've had me listen to it.
Yeah, they just put out a prelude, like a little EP it's warm weather music and it's very West Coasty.
There's a couple records on here on this Tyga album though that I was listening to. I was like, yeah, why don't I hear more of that?
Because Rack City is what makes him money.
I know.
But that's funny because his last album has some joints. Like not even, oh, that's not bad. Like, no, this is dope. The record with Wale and Nas was dope. The record with Marsha Ambrosius was dope. He had a few records. I even liked, what was the name of that record he had with Wayne?
You're asking me to recall it. I was going to say, you think I remember a Tyga Wayne collaboration?
I wasn't mad at I'm Faded. I wasn't mad at it.
Who's the other rapper from the West Coast that you're a real big fan of? I'm trying to think.
Dom Kennedy.
Thank you. Dom Kennedy could could come in with that. He has that lane, but
yeah, he just tweeted he's putting out a new project.
Yeah,
knows that he owns the warm weather months. Like, he doesn't even do anything when it's cold out. I mean, it should be whole, like this is perfect time right now. It should be Dom, it should be Nipsey. All them dudes should be making music like right now.
Yeah. I think there are definitely guys who are on a regional or maybe slightly like, I don't want to say lower tier because I don't want to denigrate what they're doing, but on a not as popular level who definitely have that sound. But what I'm saying is, I think that there is definitely a lane open for a more sort of a resurrection of that sound on a popular level.
Yeah. I mean,
because I know you would love it.
Absolutely. When you think about it, remember in the 90s and even in the early 2000s, even though music was very national, music was very regional. So West Coast artists, you could tell, all right, as soon as you hear the beat, or as soon as you hear him rap, he's from Cali, he's from New York, he's from Memphis, he's from Atlanta, he's from Texas. Like, you kind of knew where they were coming from. Now, everybody pretty much sounds the same. There's no real, like, regional sound. So
I think you can still tell when somebody's right out of Atlanta.
Atlanta, Florida, the South, kinda, by the way that they rap, maybe not their music or their artistic ability, but when you hear like the twang in their voice or what they talk about, then you're like, all right, this person is from here. But when it comes to like the West Coast, is so, that sound is so absent, you know, absence obviously makes the heart grow fonder. So I just say all that to say I agree with you. I think right now the classic West Coast sound, not Kendrick, and we're not saying that Kendrick and TDE don't make, they make more easily accessible music. Like, you can't tell that they're from Cali, to me.
I guess I agree with that.
More so than you can tell when Nipsey raps, you can tell when Dom raps, these guys are from the West Coast. Pac Div is from the West Coast.
Pac Div, man, they will forever be like, why aren't they doing more artists?
Yeah. Yeah. Shame. That deal messed them up.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with them.
That deal messed them up.
Anything else we need to talk about?
Nah, let's go ahead and go into the unexpected sudden star of the show.
Yeah, so we're recording, what is this, 7:53 Eastern right now. It is Wednesday the 10th, and what, about 5 hours ago, a little less, Big Crit released King Remembered in Time. His fifth album / fourth mixtape.
Wow.
I didn't even know this was coming until like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
You know, I had heard Shine On. I'm trying to think of anything. Well, we're going to get there.
He performed, remember I said last week or a few weeks ago that he was at South by Southwest?
Yeah, he performed
a song. Let me pull up the album, because that song is on the tape.
Okay.
It's Talking About Nothing. He performed that live, and I was like, oh, okay.
Interesting. So we got to go track by track on this, right?
Do we have to? I mean,
really?
No. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm still listening to it.
Well, I am too. So let me just say this. Take this with a grain of salt. I've listened to this once. Right?
Okay.
I mean, I took detailed notes as I did it. But like, so the intro is Purpose. It's cool.
Dope. I like it.
It's a little heavy on the guitar. Sorry.
Dramatic. It's a little dramatic.
You know how I feel about things that are dramatic. which is ironic. You have the most
dramatic beat on my album? No, you don't. You have the third most dramatic beat on my album. Some of those tracks at the end are pretty dramatic.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what? Mine is inspirational.
All right.
Armand's done. He's cutting the show off. Yeah. Anyway, second track is Shine Out with Bun B.
Trash.
It's not trash.
I don't like it.
I think this beat is good. More importantly, it's a sign that soul sampling Big Crit is back.
Of course, he's doing a mixtape.
I don't think Bun's terrible on this at all. I think it's kind of low key, but I think this song's okay. Yeah. Talking About Nothing.
I like it.
we've heard this type of song from Crit before, but at least he's not talking about his car this time. Because this...
Only on the rest of the album, yeah.
Well...
But I mean, at this point, I expect this from Crit. I know what I'm going to get from him now. Four tracks in, like, I'm not...
Well, then, right. Well, then we get to King Without a Crown. Listen.
He always has one of these records.
This beat... Oh,
crazy.
This beat is crazy. This is the soul sampling Crit I remember. Not the, yeah, that's me. Let me chop this up so much that it's irritating. Like, this is...
Yeah.
This is a beat.
Yeah, that's me. Did we say that Yeah, That's Me was busy?
Yo.
It was busy. Maybe it was like rush hour traffic. There's just way too much going on.
But King Without a Crown is dope.
That's very R4.
Yeah.
Forever and a Day theme.
You know what I need to do? We should just put a little playlist together of all those types of tracks from Crit. Like Just Touchdown.
Like the more hype. I mean, like, because Hometown Hero's in that, right?
Nah, Hometown Hero's not like that.
But it's still hype, though.
I'm not thinking hype. I'm thinking very specifically, like...
Those Willie Hutch?
Yeah, Willie Hutch.
Okay, just the best of Big Crit and Willie Hutch.
I mean, I'm cool with that. But King Without a Crown's really great. I'm definitely going to go back and listen to that a lot. You got Rem.
R.E.M. with the... I think that's a James Blake
sample. We got two samples on here. We got James Blake and we got a Gil Scott Heron sample.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know me, I got my ear. The song is cool.
Man, sorry. I like the video. The video's dope.
I haven't seen the video. I really
shot really
because
well.
I do this show now, I really try to, like, if I know there's a whole project coming out, I just try to have tunnel vision, wait for the whole project.
Sure. I didn't know there was a I thought he was trying to put something out to get Def Jam's attention. That's why I paid attention.
There's definitely something on here that is designed to get Def Jam's attention, but we're gonna talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
We got Meditate.
Eh.
I like that bass line.
Eh.
That's a pretty typical, like, hey, I'm a Southern rapper, so here's a guitar. Yep. Like, that's what that sounds like. Serve This Royalty, a sample's dope.
Yeah, it's all right.
Good Together.
I like Good Together. I think Good Together has potential to be, like, single-ish. It's got single potential.
That's interesting. I think it's an interesting sort of twist for him because it's just a little, it's a totally different tempo for him.
It's different, but it's not
true. Like,
it still has that same Big Crit bounce. It's just the drums,
but even the tempo is a little different and the feeling, it sort of forces him to rap a little differently.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that song at all.
Yeah.
Then you get this interesting thing right here in the middle of this mixtape, which is a snippet of Just Last Week featuring Future.
Yeah. Oh my God.
How do you feel about this record?
I don't.
I think it's no accident. This is a snippet.
Absolutely.
He is testing the waters.
Absolutely.
I'm not mad at Future on it.
I think Crit's hooks are so good, he doesn't need Future.
I'm not saying he needs Future, I'm just saying I'm not mad at Future on this. Song's okay.
Yeah.
How you feel about your man Trinidad James?
I like this record.
My Trunk, I didn't know what to expect. The bass is, you know, If you got a sub in your car, you're gonna.
This whole album is sub friendly.
Well, that's how he is.
That's all Crit sounds like.
I say this: if you're gonna have Trinidad James in a song, this is how you do it.
Yep.
I think Trinidad's, you know, considering Trinidad James, I think he's fine on this.
Yeah. What about him on that Wale record? Didn't we like that?
We did.
Okay.
We did, but the other stuff that we've heard from him as follow ups, we're not real big on.
Nah, he's got to do something. Females Welcomed isn't really catching on like that.
Nah, he needs... But that's all from that first mixtape, right?
Yup.
He needs to just do fresh stuff.
Mm.
Let's see. We got a little run here that's all right. How You Love That?
It's cool. I like Big Saint.
I'm never a Big Saint fan. Only One with Wiz and Smoke DZA.
It's okay.
It's all cool. Right. Banana Clip Theory.
Dope.
I like this. Nice drums.
Dope.
Real nice, just a change of pace for him.
Yep. Really dope. Yeah, he always does these. That's this is the I Don't Want to Be Another Nigga.
Yeah.
He always has those records that are like really, really rappity rap hip hop ish.
Sure.
But they're still kind of sort of, he makes them, he conforms them to the Crit wheelhouse.
Yeah.
That's this.
Speaking of rappity rapperish.
Oh.
Your man, Ninth Wonder. Produces Life Is a Gamble featuring BJ the Chicago Kid.
Shout out to BJ, the Chicago kid. I like him.
How do you feel about this?
I don't. I mean, really? I like the sample. I think I'm just good off Ninth.
I like the sample. I think this beat is dope. I'll give credit where credit is due. This song is really good.
Mm.
So you know, we got WTF.
Nope.
That's pretty scary. I like that song a lot.
I gotta hear it again. I don't like this whole stretch. I don't like how this album ends. I think I'm gonna like Multi Till the Sun Die.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. The sequencing on this is a little weird.
Yeah.
Bigger Picture. Look, you can't name a song Bigger Picture and not have me expect to hear Heat Makers. So like right off the bat, I was like, eh, it's all right. You know, this is clearly better than the last album. Or the only album.
You gotta compare to me, you gotta compare this to the tapes.
True, but we gotta give a little bit more time.
Yeah, that too.
So the single from this is what?
Rim was the single.
That's R-M a weird choice for a single.
I think that, I don't know if that was the single. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Shine On is the single.
Yeah.
My bad. Shine On is the, Rim was just a leak.
Do you think he needs a video from My Trunk right now?
Yeah.
That's the kind of record he needs out right now.
Yeah, that would help him and Trinidad James.
It would. So mm-hmm. Def Jam, throw some money at that.
Throw some money at us for giving you that idea.
Yeah, payable to Clack Radio Speak. No, I'm just kidding.
Yep, yeah, we need to set up our PayPal. Post haste.
Yeah, anybody want to donate some cat? No, I'm just kidding. Help fund the show. So overall, like, I mean, granted, first like glance, so this is not a review or anything like that, but are you encouraged, discouraged?
I'm encouraged.
Encouraged. All right. That's the only rating we're giving. We're not giving dope, bad, nothing like that, but I'm encouraged as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get extra nerdy on this, but I want to wait for people to catch up and list all the samples that are listed out. And the reason why I say that is because I want to see if his production has advanced so that he's making some records without samples, but that don't sound as forced and cheesy as the records on the album.
Because
I'm thinking like Next Step, right?
Because
we know he can make, we know he can make songs that have lots of samples in them. I'm not worried about that side of Crit.
Right.
I'm worried about the album that comes next. You know, so we'll let this play out a little bit. But the one thing I will say is, you know what? 3 years ago, we heard the first album. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, the first mixtape. 3 years ago, 2010, right?
2010, yep.
You know, we talked about this a little bit last year. Probably talked about it a lot last year, actually. But, you know, it is more than safe to say now. We know exactly what Big Crit is.
Absolutely.
The only thing left is, what is he going to do about his Def Jam going to adapt and improve his sample free production, or is he going to get outside producers, which then changes the whole Big Crit sound?
Well, I think that was kind of implied with the Mike Will video.
That's just a video though. Let's see what we actually get.
Okay. Right? I thought it was implied, like, look, all right, we're going to get Mike Will, or we're going to get outside producers on this time. Might not be Mike Will, but look, Big Crit is working with other people.
No. What I'm saying by that is I would expect we get Mike Will for the single.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it would be really unusual if Big Crit didn't produce anything. Or even I would expect him to produce a decent chunk, if not most, of his next album, regardless of what outside producers they bring in for singles and stuff.
Sure.
So let's see where he's progressing.
Okay.
Well, that was shorter than I thought. Anything else you want to say about this, Can You Remember in Time?
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. When does Crit drop now? Third quarter? September?
Who knows? That makes sense, right? Although I feel like his music is more like Warm Weather.
It is Warm Weather.
But that's when he drops his mixtapes.
Right.
He's on a schedule.
Right, yeah, definitely.
Spring's coming. Let's go.
When did his album drop?
His album dropped in September.
See? Nah.
But his mixtapes are always March or April.
Yeah. Nah, because if he's in September, then he's going to be in like depressed, bitter rapper mode. And I don't want to hear that from Crit. So.
So, yeah. We got anything else we want to talk about, or is that it this week?
I think we're good, man.
It's a short week.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, once again, thank you, everybody. You know, sorry we missed out last week, but we needed to recharge. We needed to do some other work. But, you know, we're still going to be weekly. Don't worry. Don't get crazy. Check us out, collectreadyspeakers.com. Like us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. You can ask us questions directly to the site now, collectreadyspeakers.com/ask. As always, if you're on Twitter, you want to talk about the show, talk with us, use the hashtag #ClockRadioSpeakers. Armand is not on Pinterest.
I am on Pinterest.
You are on Pinterest. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm on Pinterest. Right, Pinterest is really good for fashion.
Okay. So if you want to see what Armand's thinking is going to be, you know, what's really hood for the next 6 months, then check him out on Pinterest.
Oh, God. He said, what's really hood? Yo. Wow, that threw me off. Nah, man, I'm not on there. I just kind of lurk a little bit.
I'm just playing it. But yeah, man, and you know, don't forget, as always, every Sunday, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pulse Radio.
Yeah.
What do you play? You got a lot to play. You got a lot of options this week.
Yeah, I'm probably I'll just do a this week episode. You know,
got a lot of options. I mean, you RP, definitely Tyler, you know definitely play that Accidental Racist. Definitely play that Started from the Bottom remix. You know.
Yeah,
give the people what they want to hear.
Yeah, I'll actually open up the show with Accidental Racist.
I was hoping so.
I'm serious. You think I'm joking? I'm serious. I'm gonna open up the show with that.
You watch. I'm gonna loop up a part of the record they left open. You could do a little remix.
Purposeful racism or something like that. Like switch it up. I don't know. Whatever.
All right. I think that's it for this week. So thank you everybody for tuning in, and we'll see y'all next week.